Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of John chapter 10, please. Don't take for granted the change of Christ in your life. Don't ever get used to it. And let's not go back to the mess he saved us from. And by the way, young folks, God can change your life regardless of where you're at in your home, where your family's at, where your parents or grandparents may be at. God can do a great work in your life. Don't give up on Him. Be faithful to Him. And He has a plan. John chapter 10 this morning. Take your Bibles and look there. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin in verse number 22 down to verse number 30. Just a few verses. I want to preach today on the topic eternal security. John chapter 10. Beginning verse number 22. I'll read the first verse and you read with me on the second and down through there. We'll read responsively. Verse number 22 says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Now watch these next few verses. "But ye believe me not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Lord, today we thank you, Lord, for John chapter 10. What a tremendous chapter. Now, Lord, today I pray that you'd use your word to honor and glorify your name and yourself. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word today to help Christians this morning. Lord, if there be any here that's not saved today, that's not turn to you, Father, repented from their sin and ask you to save them and forgive them and believe and have believed on you, Father. Lord, today I pray the Spirit of God would have free course and bring great conviction. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with Christians today, Father, that maybe in their heart and their mind are troubled by doubt, Father, of their salvation. And Lord, can they lose it? Lord, are they good enough to keep it? Lord, may your word today bring them great encouragement and truth. We ask in your name, Father. Help us, we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Eternal security. And perhaps for some of you this morning, this will not be a great revelation. And you're like, preacher, I know that I'm settled in that. Well, then you just be encouraged in the day and say amen. And this will be helped then to someone else sitting next to you. Insecurity and fear are both destructive emotions. Both insecurity and fear, they're very destructive. I remember growing up in a broken home. My parents had been divorced and remarried, and my dad had a couple times been divorced and remarried. And that, for me, caused a lot of insecurity growing up, a lot of frustration. And so they're very destructive. These things of fear and insecurity are very destructive emotions. Insecurity and fear can paralyze an individual. The individual is so overwhelmed that they are not able to do anything. And we've all read stories or maybe even experienced being so afraid that you're paralyzed. You just can't do anything. You can't think. You can't respond. You're just overwhelmed with this fear. And you simply did nothing. Insecurity can, and fear can lead to destructive behaviors or wrong choices. Oftentimes when we face fear or insecurity, we are enter into a fight or a flight mode. Simply meaning that when you confront fear and security, either run from it or else you confront it and begin to fight. And both of these can cause problems. And right now in America, people are filled with insecurity and fear. As we stood on the street corner yesterday and just had the signs out there and waved at people, hoping to give out some Bibles and witness, an older lady pulled up into the parking lot and asked me to come over and talk to her. And she said, "Thank you for bringing Jesus Christ to Dubuque, preaching Jesus Christ." She said, "Our country is so paralyzed with fear." And she says, we're so afraid what's going to take place. Only Christ is the answer. And so America right now is filled with insecurity and fear. And this is good for the benefit of the people who seek to gain power and control. Because people who are easier to control when they're overwhelmed with fear. Now this is bad for the American people because because then we lose more of our liberties and our freedoms. The same thing that we see happen in America today is really a device of the devil. The device of Satan has caused the believer to be filled with insecurity and fear in the area of salvation. Now we all know this morning, probably all that are here today would understand and believe that the Bible says that we're not saved by good works or by being religious. We're saved by the grace of God and we access that grace by faith.
Amen.
That's a pretty simple and basic doctrine of salvation. But it's amazing how many Christians who believe that still suffer from the insecurity and the fear of, am I really saved? Does Jesus Christ really love me? If I died right now, would I really go to heaven? If Christ returned today, and he called, and there was a rapture, would I go to heaven? Would I be left behind? And so they had this fear, this insecurity. Did I do everything just right? Did I say my prayer just right? Do I have enough faith to be saved and to stay saved? If I sin tomorrow, would I lose my salvation? So we live in that insecurity or that fear of, am I really born again? Am I really saved? Did I do what I'm supposed to do? And this paralyzes the believer, and the work of God is then hindered. When you doubt your salvation, you're not very effective as a Christian in any aspect of your life. So it hinders the work of God, but also because sometimes this fear, this insecurity puts us in this fight or flight mode. It not only hinders God's work, but it also injures the work of God. Because all of a sudden your fear and insecurity, lash out at things. You make the wrong choices. You make the wrong decisions. And either you get so overwhelmed and bitter in the house of God that you're not much good, or you get so resentful, you just quit coming to the house of God. Quit serving God. And so God does not want the believer to live in the fear of man or circumstances or in the fear of, am I really saved or not? Now, I'm going to give you a couple of verses in introduction, then we'll get to the main part of the message this morning. I want you to turn with me, hold your place in the book of John, because we'll come back there. But I want you to look with me at the book of 1 John. Go to your right, several books of the Bible, all the way back to the end. If you hit Revelation, you've gone too far. Come back to the left just a little bit. 1 John chapter 4, please. Let me just say this about the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, that the love of God casts out fear and insecurity. God does not want you to live your life as a Christian wondering, am I really saved? Did I pray my prayer just right? Did I confess all my sins? Do I have enough faith? God wants you to live your life as a Christian in confidence and boldly for the cause of Christ. He wants you to know that you have everlasting life. He wants you to be persuaded. All right? Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 13. Here the Bible says, Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. Now remember that for later on. God says this, we know that we're saved because we dwell in Him, and He in us, because within us dwells the Holy Spirit of God. And we have seen and do testify the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and He in God. So here's our plan of salvation. Here's the man of salvation, Jesus Christ. And we find that God's grace sent Him to die for us. And then we find the method or the means of salvation is believing on Jesus Christ, faith in Him. Verse number 16 says this, And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So here God's saying that he has given us his word. He sent His Son to die for us to be our Savior. We access that salvation through faith. And God says this, when you get born again, when you get saved, when you place your faith in Him, not by doing good works, not by being a church member, getting baptized, not by saying a certain prayer or a rosary or confirmation, all those things have their place, most of them, but they're not means of salvation. It's our faith in Christ. And God says this, that when you do that, then sort of God dwells within you, and that you dwell in love, and God's love casts out all fear. Makes us confident and bold. That we can say, you know, no matter what happens today or in my life, no matter how I feel today, or maybe the sins I might commit today or tomorrow, I know that I'm saved because God dwells within me. His love has cast out all fear. God does not want you to live your life tormented with the fact, am I saved? Am I going to hell? Hey, I sinned yesterday. I messed up yesterday. Did I lose my salvation? No. Take and turn back to the left to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Let's build on that verse here for a moment. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show you a verse here. Hebrews 10 and verse number 12. We're going to read us a few here. Kind of a Bible study here for a moment. Hebrews 10 and verse number 12, it says this. Now watch the scripture. But this man, referring to Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now watch it. For by one offering, what's that offering? That's Calvary, right? He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What is perfect love? Perfect love cast out fear, right? God says this, that when you got born again, He perfected those believers for how long? Forever. Forever. Listen, the believer is eternally secure and only needs to be saved once. There's one offering. There's one Calvary. And to believe this idea that if I sin, I can lose my salvation, Christ would have to come back and be crucified over and over and over again. But God said this, that He sent His Son. He died one time on Calvary, rose again from the dead. He paid the price of sin with His own blood. He appeased the wrath of God. When He rose again, He defeated Satan and death. He removed death's sting. He overcame sin. He gave us victory. And so He says, now because of that, when you get born again, He perfects us forever. There is no example in the, listen, there are dozens of examples in the Bible of folks getting saved. There is no example in the Bible of anybody getting saved twice. Except maybe Drake. So today I'm preaching on the eternal security of the believer. Now listen to me. We've all been there. And some of you will be shortly. Today I want to preach today on the eternal security based upon the nature of the Good Shepherd. Amen. Not at this morning. I'm not here to elevate what you prayed or a certain prayer. I'm not here this morning to elevate what church you went to when it happened. What was being sang in the invitation song, what altar you went to. Today I want to elevate the Good Shepherd. Why do we have eternal security? Because it's the very basis of the nature of the Good Shepherd. It's His very nature to give believers eternal life that cannot be lost. Let's look back at John chapter 10 again. So why do we have eternal security? It's the very nature of the Good Shepherd. We find in verse number 11, the Bible says this of our John chapter 10. Christ said this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We find that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He's not the bad shepherd. He's not the average shepherd. He's not like us. He is the good shepherd. And his very nature is, as a shepherd, to give his life for the sheep. Would you ever have expected a shepherd to just every now and then get mad at the sheep and just blow one away? Just every now and then that the sheep messed up. Said, all right, you know, you're going to hell. You know, I don't like that sheep anymore. No, he's the good shepherd. And he's came now. Verse number 10 says he's come now. He said, listen, the thief comes. The devil comes. He's a thief. He's a liar. And he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. That's his M.O. That's his objective. And that's the burden today for me as a pastor, is to watch the devil come in and so many homes and so many churches to come in and try to steal and to kill and destroy God's people. Don't buy into the lie of the devil. Don't buy into the lie that the church is old-fashioned and serving God is old-fashioned and things have changed and somehow the world has something to offer. It's all a facade, a lie, and the end is to kill and to destroy. But God said this, Jesus Christ said this, I have come to give life, and life more abundantly. The very nature of the good shepherd lends to the truth of eternal security. God says in the Bible says this in verse number 14 through 16. For I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so now I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now remember, Jesus Christ now is speaking this to the Jews. So he tells the nation of Israel, says the Jews, I am the good shepherd, and those that believe in me, they're my sheep. Then he says this, which is good news for you and I. Other sheep I have. That's you and me, the Gentile people. He said, I'm going to go and be their good shepherd and bring them into my fold. So there's one sheep and there's one shepherd. And the same Jesus that saves the Jews, saves the white man, the red man, the black man, the yellow man, the orange man, the red man, the blue man. If the blue man got saved, it might change their music. They are, on a side note, a little neat to watch what they do. We are the sheep then. Here's what the sheep say. Psalms 95:7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Psalms 103 says this, Know ye the Lord, he is God. He is that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. It's not what we have done that made us his sheep. It's what he has done.
Amen.
It's what he has done. And so the very nature of the shepherd lends to or teaches eternal security. You see, sheep are, as I read about sheep this week, sheep are easy prey and are easily deceived and devoured. And it's not in a sheep to seek after a shepherd. You're never going to go buy a flock of sheep that says wanted shepherd. Looking for a good shepherd. No, sheep don't understand that. The Bible says that he is a good shepherd and he refers to the sheep as my sheep. Well, here's what I want you to see. Hold your place in John and come to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see his nature. His nature as a good shepherd. Why is it that I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved? Because the Bible says so, but it's also the very nature of the good shepherd. Not to give temporary life or probation, but to give everlasting life, eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Here's why the sheep are helpless. And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now here's my point. I read all these verses to say this. A sheep cannot save himself or keep himself.
Amen.
Why? God says that we were dead. How can a dead man look for a shepherd? How can a dead man save himself or keep himself? See, this morning it's not about what you did that saves us, it's about what he did that saves us.
Amen.
And this morning, yes, I don't have to have faith. I know that we must come to a place where we repent of our sin and turn toward him, but that all took place because the good shepherd was seeking for sheep. Listen, we didn't begin the process. Why? Because we were dead in our sins and trespasses. We walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the spirit of this of ungodliness and disobedience. And so the very nature of the good shepherd is to come and give life, life more abundantly. And he said this, eternal life.
Amen.
When we got born again, he didn't put us on probation. He gave us everlasting life. Once saved, always saved.
Amen.
It's the very nature of the belief, the very nature of the shepherd to give us eternal life. We find this back in John chapter 10, verse 28. It says this, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now, I know that there's so-called Bible scholars out there that say, "Well, but if you sin, you're going to be fall out of grace." Well, what does "never perish" mean then? He said this in the same verse, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That means this, that the world can't pluck the believer out of the Lord's hands.
Amen.
You can't. That means this, that the devil can't pluck you out of the Lord's hands.
Amen.
Well, preacher, but if I, you know, what if I sin? The devil, listen, God knew that before he saved you. He knew that we would sin. And so he didn't put the job of keeping our salvation on us. He said, "I'll take care of that. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd." Listen, this morning you are so secure and so saved in the shepherd's hand that you yourself can even pluck yourself out. But preacher, what if I just jump out one day? You can't do it. Now you can get awful bad. You can get awful caught up in sin and you can do a lot of crazy things. But the Bible says this, that's the very nature of the good shepherd, his very nature, his very character is this, to be a good shepherd, to save and to keep his sheep forever and give them everlasting life that they shall never perish. And everyone says, "I'm tired of that one, get rid of it." Now he might come along and chasten a few sheep every now and then, but being chased and being perished are two different things. So here's what I'm going to give this morning, just a few points about the very nature of the good shepherd. Hebrews 12:2 says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's my thought this morning. Jesus Christ, what he started, he will finish. Because he is the good shepherd. His very nature is the start and the finish. Now, here's how he does that. Number one is this. The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner. The Holy Spirit of God convicts the sinner. If you're in John, look at John 16. Look at the words of Christ now as he teaches now about eternal security. In John chapter 16, we find that what Jesus Christ starts, he finishes. John 16:7, the Bible says this, and I want you to, there's a few more verses for you to turn to, but I want you to turn to these scriptures so you see them. In John 16, verse number 7, the Bible says this now. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Those weren't welcoming words to the disciples. He's going to go away. Now watch what he says now. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him on to you. And when he is come, he will..." Now watch what the Comforter now. He is the Holy Spirit. Now watch what he's going to do when he comes. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." Here we find the Spirit of God being sent to us by the Good Shepherd. The Holy Spirit of God, he convicts the sinner. So he said, "I promise you, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And he's to come, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment." You see, conviction is essential to salvation. And this is now listen, don't frown or resist conviction. See, but preacher, when I feel conviction, when I feel convicted, I feel real bad. I feel something in my heart that just begins to really, you know, there's something inside of it that makes me troubled and it makes me a little bit worried and it's unnerving and I want to resist that. Don't do that. See, the Spirit of God is convicting, yes, of sin. Why? Because sin has a penalty. For the wages of sin is death. That's for all men. Every man that sins has a penalty to pay, and so that wage is death, and the Spirit of God, now He's convicting the men of sin, not to push them toward death, but to draw them toward the Savior. So He has to convict men of sin. Because if we were convicted of sin, who would want to be saved? Who would need a Savior? What did Christ die for? It was a useless sacrifice. But because we're all sinners, we need a Savior. So the Spirit of God, how does He come? He gets our attention through convicting us. You are a sinner. We're all sinners. So we find today that people throw off the spirit of conviction. I don't like conviction. I don't like to read the Bible. I don't like to come to church. I don't like the invitation time, because when it happens, I just feel overwhelmed and I begin to think about my sin and things I've done in my life and I just feel like I'm a loser, I'm a failure. He wants to reveal to you who you really are so you can see who Christ really is, the Good Shepherd. So that way you can say, I can't save myself. So he has to reveal to us that we are sinners. You know what? Conviction doesn't bother me as much as not being convicted. That should bother us today. When we can come to a place where we no longer feel convicted about anything that we do or say or behave, we can come to church and walk out of here feeling like, you know what? I'm a pretty good Joe. Pretty good person. Now listen, Jesus Christ loves you, but He wants this thing is about Him, not you and I. And so this morning, I do feel real bad. I feel concerned if I can walk out of here and never feel convicted at all. So when conviction comes, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. You see, men will either embrace the comfort of the Holy Spirit and conviction, or they'll be struck down with God's judgment. Now, I ordered that on purpose that way. People want to hear that, being struck down. Well, God is love, and God is love. But if you reject the love of God and His Son, He will strike the sinner down. So why does the Holy Spirit of God convict? Because He knows this, either embrace salvation or be condemned with the prince of the world. So the devil is judged. He is condemned. And all those that reject Christ, we condemn with Him. So the Spirit of God says, get born again. And He reveals to us our sin. Number two. The Holy Spirit of God converts the believer. He convicts the sinner and converts the believer. Look with me at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The book, pick up at verse number 9. Watch the Bible here now very carefully. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? That means this, that there are no sinners in heaven. There are no religious people in heaven. There are no good people in goody-two-shoes in heaven. There are no do-gooders in heaven. There are no self-righteous people in heaven. Watch what the Bible says now. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Anybody here guilty of any of those sins? Now be careful before you say no. Guilty of being a fornicator? Have you had sex outside of marriage? Looked at pornography? lustful thoughts about another woman or a man. Stuck around behind your parents' back, got in a car and kissed and made out with somebody. Talks about revilers and thieves, effeminate, idolaters. You ever love anything when you love God? You ever been a thief or do you ever steal a cookie? Who has that idea? Well, if I didn't rob a bank, I'm not a thief. Did you ever not tithe? You've done worse. You robbed God then. And God said this. Those folks, you can't get into heaven. Now, for most of us, for all of us, we should say, oh my. What shall we do? Look at verse number 11. And such were some of you. Now that's, I'm not an English major and I was terrible in English. If I understand that sentence right, that's past tense.
Yeah.
That means that's what I once was, but I'm no longer that.
Right.
That's why I don't like AA. Because AA makes you believe that you're always an alcoholic.
That's right.
Hi, my name is Ed, I'm an alcoholic. No, there's a place, I'm really not, and a tacoholic or foodaholic, but I'm not an alcoholic. There's a time when you can say, hey, I used to be! But how do we get that? Now watch what it says here. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God.
Amen.
Now watch, now listen, the Holy Spirit of God, He's busy, He's working. What's He do? He gets in your business and convicts you of your sin. It can be in the church house on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. It can be in a special service. It can be in your devotions. It can be while you're in a car. It can be anywhere. He can come and convict you of your sin and reveal to you that you are a sinner on the way to hell. That's what He's supposed to do. Why? Because either you get born again, get saved, get right with God, or you stand with the devil and his angels and get judged to everlasting torment. Now, see, preacher, I don't believe that. What you believe doesn't change the fact. There's a heaven, there's a hell.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't teach that in public school because they're idiots in public school, that's why. It's ran by a bunch of liberal, socialist, communist, brainwashed, pot-smoking, dope hippies. And I wouldn't send my kids there. Listen, I wouldn't send my dog to public school. It's changed. It's a whole different world today than what many of you parents grew up in. This is how the world has impacted our generation. It's not to shrug off the conviction of God. There is no hell. There is a hell. If there be no hell, this is a waste of time. Let's all go home and eat tacos and other things. So he comes and he convicts the believer of their sin. When the believer turns toward Christ and says, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty of all those things. And by the way, you might as well admit it. Lord, I'm a fornicator. I've done those things. Lord, I'm guilty of those things. I'm guilty of being a thief and a liar. I'm guilty of lust and greed and hatred. But Lord, save me. Here's what the Spirit of God does. He gives you, if I can use these words without being classified as a charismatic, He gives you a Holy Ghost bath. Do you ever come into the house and your mom say, whoa, you're not coming here looking that dirty. Get in the bathtub. Get in the shower. You don't come through the house dressed like that. Yesterday I went over to the Tiggins' house and one of the girls got car sick in the car, one of Carrie's kids, and she had a little bit of an accident and got car sick. You know what happens. And so her mom, we pulled in, her mom was getting her out of the car saying, you're going right to the bathtub and getting a bath. We don't want that stuff laid all over the place. Well, the Spirit of God says this, when you get born again, you're going to get a bath. What He does is He washes you. And He says to the Father, here's so-and-so. They used to be a fornicator, but now they're cleaned up. They're sanctified, they've been justified. So that's what God does. The Spirit of God, He sets you apart for God. He makes you part of His sheep. And He says this, He's justified. That means the sheep, as a sheep, has never, ever even sinned in God's eyes. And He cleanses us through what? The Holy Spirit of God. Here is Christ being the good shepherd. So when God sees the saved person, the saved, the saint of God, He sees a sheep that has Christ's righteousness, and it looks like he has never ever even sinned in the sight and in God's eyes or God's sight. That's the Spirit of God's, that's His job. The Spirit of God is able to do what good works cannot do, what religion cannot do, what psychology cannot do. Man can put on a fresh set of clothes, comb his hair and shave his face and put some cologne on his body, but they cannot cleanse the heart or change the heart of man. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And thank God one day, as a young man, I got born again. The Spirit of God, He cleansed me and changed me and He saved me. He gave me a brand new garment to wear and a brand new heart. So the Holy Spirit of God convicts a sinner. The Holy Spirit of God, He converts the believer. And last this morning, this, the Holy Spirit of God completes or finishes the saved. Look at me, look to the right again. Philippians chapter number 1. The very nature of the Good Shepherd teaches eternal security. Jesus said that He would give, that we are His sheep. My sheep. My sheep hear My voice. Philippians 1 verse number 6, watch what the Bible says about the Spirit of God's job now. He convicts, He converts, and He completes. Philippians 1 6, we find the Bible says this, being confident. Hey, that's the opposite of anxiety and fear and insecurity. When my wife and I first began to court and date, because I was raised up in a broken home and my mother had left when I was a young man, I had this insecurity that no matter what I did, no matter how much I loved my wife, my girlfriend at the time, that one day she would say, you know what, I don't love you anymore, and we're just done. And that caused us some problems in our courtship. And she didn't understand that. It was a huge issue. I was constantly needing affirmation. Do you still love me? You know, am I still the one? It was just kind of a bad spot in my life. And she didn't sometimes understand that until she had her first son had postpartum, and that messed with her mind, and so then we kind of switched roles. But it's our nature sometimes as people to be insecure, and that's an awful place to live. When it comes to salvation, Christ does not want you to live in insecurity and fear. Am I really saved? He has done the work for us. He convicts and He converts. But preacher, if I pray a prayer and get born again, that means I gotta get really good, don't I? I gotta get really good and I gotta do good works and I gotta read my Bible. I gotta read 25 chapters a day and pray 3 hours a day and tithe all my money and take a vow of poverty and I can't watch TV and I can't do anything. If I do, I'm gonna mess up and go to hell. No, He convicts and He converts. He saves. There's some things we ought not do. All we have to have is faith in Him. Now watch what He says here. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you. Well, who is He? The Holy Spirit. What's the good work? Salvation. Now watch what He says here. We'll perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He didn't say this. So here's the Holy Spirit of God. According to John, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ said this. When you get born again, the Spirit of God is going to come and dwell within you. And He said this, not only this, not only will I be in you and you in me, but you're in my hand. And I'm going to pluck you out of my hand. Not just that, but He said this, not only that, but you're also in my Father's hand. And I'm going to pluck you out of my Father's hand because we are one. And so we have everlasting, we have eternal security. And He said this now about the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is being a good work in you. He will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He didn't say this. He didn't say He'll perform it until He gets tired of it. He'll complete the work. The work is not complete when you say it is complete. The work is not complete when I feel like it's when I feel like stopping. You see, we're all sometimes guilty of not finishing what we started, right? We try to teach our children, finish what you start. My wife is a wonderful lady, and she is a multitasker. And she can start many things at one time, then take forever, sometimes in my frustration, to finish them. Now, the opposite is true of me. She gets frustrated sometimes because I just want to do one thing at a time. Let's just do that, get that finished. And she's like, well, what about this? What about that? I'm not a woman. I don't multitask. Okay? One thing at a time. Don't finish your 14 projects. Then come talk about my one project, okay? Sometimes we start something, we don't finish it. The Spirit of God is never guilty of not finishing what he's ever started. When will this project of salvation be complete? When I sin tomorrow? When I miss church next week? When I refuse to get right with God and not to get in and not sow in and not to tithe and not to come to church? When I refuse to love my wife? When I refuse to do right? And that's not when it's complete! Those things are terrible, yes, and God sometimes will deal with God will chase us for those things. But the Spirit of the work of salvation is God's work, the Spirit of God's work, and He completes it when Christ comes again. When I see Him face to face is when the work is complete. You know the motto of the post office is what? Through what? Sun, rain, shine, sleet, snow. The mail must go. You know, whatever, how that really goes. Their whole motto is, no matter what it takes, we're going to get the mail to your mailbox. This, I'm going to tell you something. The Good Shepherd is far greater than the mailman. And through life and ups and downs, disappointments, and through your sin, the Spirit of God has got you sealed, performing a good work in you, and He will safely deliver you to Jesus Christ. That's not based upon what you and I do, how good we are, how good a Christian that we are. It's based upon the work of the Spirit of God. It's based upon the Good Shepherd. Amen. The Good Shepherd. You see, the work is complete in the name of Jesus Christ. That means if I'm not in heaven tomorrow, work is still going on. I'm still sealed, secure with the Spirit of God. And that means if next year, and Trump's not president still, and we're still under the Biden administration, or that time probably Kamala, and things aren't like we would like it to be, and I might have less income, and I might be in some camp somewhere being reprogrammed, who knows? Hey, I'm still sealed. The work is still going on. And God forbid if next year I say, oh, I'm tired of being a preacher. It's just too tough. It's too hard. I'm going to quit being a preacher. I don't think I'm going to church anymore. That'd be a bad thing, but by the grace of God. But it does not stop the Spirit of God from doing His work. Amen. You see, He's still doing the work. Even when I stop doing what God wants me to do, He's still doing the work of salvation in my life. And He will deliver me safe and sound to Jesus Christ. Look back at John, we'll close. John 10. Verse 26 says this, but ye believe me not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Why is there some that today would seem like they just have a hard time with Christ? Have a hard time believing? Because they're not His sheep. In the house of God, a place like this and many others, there are sheep and there are goats. In a field of wheat, there are wheat and there are tares. There are those that look very similar. Sometimes even act very similar, but they're not His. Because they've not believed. Jesus Christ said to these Christ deniers, these unbelievers, said, listen, the reason you don't believe me, you're not my sheep. Today I want to encourage you. He wants to be your good shepherd. And He's came and He has given His life upon Calvary. He gave His life He gave His life that you might have life and have life more abundantly. God says this now in verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. here today, I want to again, lastly, this in conclusion, I want this morning to exalt the Good Shepherd to you this morning. Why is it, like I say, as a pastor? Let me tell you something, I'll be very honest. For years, even as a pastor, I struggled with the idea, am I really saved? I believe eternal security. I believe that. I believe once saved, always saved. But for years I thought and struggled with, did I pray the right words? Was I sorry enough for my sin? Because I would see folks come to the altar and just begin to weep and cry and wail and moan. I didn't do that. I thought, was I too young when I got saved? I believe I was around 10 or 11 years old. I thought, was I too young to understand to get saved at that age? I couldn't remember the date. You know, you hear people give their testimonies and they would say, you know, on January the 17th, I got born again. The Spirit of God came in the church and just swept me up and I got gloriously born again on that date. And at 2:00 in the afternoon, I got born again. I couldn't remember the date. I didn't know the date. In my house, it was no big deal. Nobody took a Bible, wrote my name down, put the date there, said, on this date, Ed Mascot said, I couldn't give you a date. Now, I can remember a time. I can remember what took place because I couldn't remember the date. It bothered me. It bothered me because there were some times I would find myself in sin. And I'd say to myself, listen, if you were really saved, you wouldn't sin, you wouldn't do that. Boy, I struggled for years. Even as a preacher preaching the gospel of Christ, eternal security, doubt of my own salvation, it plagued me. Several years ago, I sat in this church building and I said, Lord, I'm not leaving this building until you affirm in my heart I've been born again. And when? And he said, listen, nut, you jughead, you doubter, what'd you do back when you were young? Did you come to me in childlike faith? Did you repent of your sin and turn toward me and put your faith in me? I did that, Lord. Am I a liar? No, Lord, you're not a liar. Then quit getting saved over and over again. Quit repeating the prayer over and over again and just trust me and my word.
Amen.
Because I'm the good shepherd. I've come to give my sheep everlasting life and they shall never perish. That was a brand new day for me. When I finally realized, wait a minute, these are not just words on a page. This is truth. This is life. And my Christ, my Savior, is not a liar. And if I go to hell, I go trusting in Christ Jesus. That ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. So this morning I want to encourage you today. He said this, if you're my sheep, you'll hear my voice. You'll follow me. You can't hear the voice of God this morning in your life and you're not following Christ. I didn't say either. Listen, either you're a lost sheep and needs to get right with God, or you're not a sheep and needs to get saved. Because he's a good shepherd that saves and secures and seals and gives everlasting life. It's the very nature of the good shepherd to give everlasting life. He's a good shepherd this morning. If you don't know this, we're not encouraged to get to know the shepherd. Lord, today we come to you in closing. We thank you, Father, for your great word. We thank you, Father, for your character, for your nature, for who you are, that you are a good shepherd that gives life and life eternal to the sheep. Lord, today I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, if there to be here today that's not saved, they don't know you as their Savior, as their good shepherd, I pray, dear God, today that they would get born again. Spirit of God, please convict and convert, Father, we ask this morning. Lord, I pray that for the believer this morning that may be here today that lives their life in doubt or frustration or fear, am I really saved? Today, God, please use your word to seal in their heart once and for all eternal security, Lord. Once saved, always saved. Once a sheep, always a sheep. And Father, we're sealed until the day of Christ. Lord, do your work, I pray this morning. We ask in your name. Let's all stand this morning. We're standing together. Thank you for being patient this morning. I know it's been a little bit longer message today. But I want you to see his nature, how good he is. Say, Pastor Matt, today I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm not, for a Bible reason, know that I've been born again. I'm not sure. This morning, would you come and get saved? Will you just meet me in the front and we'll take the Bible, say from God's word how you can be saved. Today, if you're not sure, don't leave this place. You don't know when it'll be your last day. You don't know when you're going to draw your last breath, and today might be the last opportunity that God gives you for salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right with God. Today, if you've not been saved, I encourage this morning to come and get saved. You leave where you're standing this morning, meet me in the front, say, Pastor, I need to be saved. We'll take the Bible, show from God's word how you can be saved. Perhaps today you would say, Pastor Master, I'm kind of like where you were a few years ago, several years ago. I doubt, I struggle with I'm afraid that I'm not done the things just right. Today, would you come and let God seal in your heart that He is a good shepherd and He cares for His sheep and no man can pluck them out of His Father's hand. Today, would you come and get that settled once and for all. Perhaps you'd say, Preacher, I know I'm a sheep. I know that. I know I'm Him. I'm part of His fold. But I've ignored His voice. Oh, I've heard it, but I've ignored it. I've not followed Him. Today, Christian, there's so many folks that way that hear His voice but reject it and ignore it. And they're on the way to trouble. Today, would you come? Get things right with God. Would you follow Him this morning?